racing back to the warning track, to the wall. Upper deck, goodbye baseball.
The Jerry DePoto Show.
A tape measure home run by Nelly Cruz.
Every Thursday at 3:30 with Danny, Dave, and more.
The Jerry DePoto Show is brought to you by Metropolitan Appliance and Monogram Appliances.
Streaming on every device on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
We're joined now by Jerry DePoto. And Jerry, thank you very much for taking the time to join us here at the end of a week-long road trip.
Always a pleasure, fellas.
Well, I will say we started the show by asking what our listeners were doing when Kyle Seager made that play. I interrupted my wife's business school homework. She kind of looked up and said, "What in the world happened?" And I had to explain just the significance of the pitch. What were you doing as that full count, bases loaded pitch was made and Kyle Seager with that diving stop?
It's somewhere between standing on one foot and pulling my hair out. And then, like everybody else in the area, I'm sure, throwing my hands up in joy. Kyle made a heck of a play.
Hey, Jerry, I mean, it's you keep watching the Mariners, and you guys are only two games out in the wild card race now, and you seem to have cobbled everything together. You've overhauled the bullpen. You've got two new starters. You're waiting for Paxton to get healthy. You're waiting for Walker to do something down in Tacoma to warrant bringing him back up again. And a lot of us are wondering how in the world the Mariners are doing what they're doing right now.
You know, I think it speaks a lot to our environment. And that it goes back to last offseason, even in the spring, how much we talked about environment and the culture. And sometimes that comes before the winning, and sometimes it follows the winning. And in this particular case, I think we've worked on building a strong, solid culture from day one of spring training, and now we're starting to see the results. Is that, you know, even when it appears, I guess, an old cliche, when the chips are down, the guys have come to the table, and we're getting big performances from unexpected spots on the roster. And that's what makes winning teams winning teams, where it doesn't always come just from the Canoes and Cruises and Seagers of the world. You get guys like Sean O'Malley and Wade LeBlanc and the unexpected heroes, guys like Edwin Diaz who rise up out of nowhere. And lo and behold, as you're headed toward the back half of August, we're still in this thing.
We're joined now by Jerry DePoto, Mariners general manager. Jerry, that was your 13th starting pitcher that you've used this season, 29 pitchers on the staff. I don't imagine you've ever had a season that's quite like this in terms of testing the depth of pitching across the organization.
I have been in situations where we've used close to 30 pitchers in a season. This is unique just because of the seeming level of chaos. I mean, we're in mid-August. We still got 6 weeks to play, and we've already carved through a record-setting number of pitchers as far as Mariners history goes. But, you know, sometimes that's what it takes, is a village to chip in and do what needs to be done. And every one of those guys can look back on this season wherever we end up. If we end up in the postseason, if we end up, you know, hoisting some kind of trophy, or we wind up short, they'll know that they contributed to letting us be as good as we could be. And so far, that's what's happened.
Hey, Jerry, Drew Storen last night coming in that situation, inheriting what I guess it was bases loaded with one out. And, wow, I mean, first of all, the pitch that he threw to Trout and froze him with, and then, you know, able to get Pujols out there, that kind of had to be validating considering you made a move for that guy.
Yeah, he did. That was the best we've seen Drew. I thought his stuff was crisp. His command was good. I thought that was the best life he's had on a fastball. And I hope that one day I finally recall that curveball he threw Mike Trout as being one of the real pivot points in our season. It was a huge at bat. And I think what was filled, I said to Scott Servais after the game last night, August 17th, you know, it's a game in another series of 162 in the grand scheme of things. But from the very first inning until the last out of that game, that was tension filled, almost like playoff type baseball.
Jerry, can you sort through the bullpen and the situation there, especially with some of the guys like Cishek? He pitched for the Aqua Sox, I believe it was last night. Once he returns, what his role will be? We hear about Evan Scribner and Tony Zick, and possibly, I imagine you're looking at next year for them, or maybe you're looking at September call-ups for them, who knows. And then I see there's only one left-hander in the bullpen right now with Nuno, so what's the situation there?
You know, we're very happy with where our bullpen is right now, and we do have a couple of weeks until we get to that September 1st roster expansion. minimally, we expect Steve Cishek to return this weekend, and you know that'll be a boost. And Steve will pitch in more of a setup role than his previous closing position, which an adjustment that was made before he went on the disabled list with the hip labrum. But, you know, Steve did a heck of a job during the first half of the season and at various points was at times as hot as any closer in the league, and then obviously had some struggles in big moments as well, which is par for the course when you're doing that job. We do expect for him to come back and play a part in our setup crew and getting us to the ninth inning. And in the case of Tony Zick and Evan Scribner, particularly with Zick, I think the outlook is more and more optimistic every day. We do anticipate his arrival. It could be close to September 1st. If not, then right about on September 2nd when the rosters are expanded. He's throwing the ball very well on his rehab. Evan maybe a little bit behind him, but not too far. So we anticipate being able to add him once rosters expand. And at very least, we have a handful of pitchers both at the AAA and AA level that are going to merit consideration to bring them up as well as we spread out the staff.
Edwin Diaz with 8 saves now. From the beginning when he came up, you used the word electric to describe his stuff. It's still, that probably had to be somewhat of a tough decision to put a rookie in that kind of situation as a closer. What's allowed him to be as successful as he has been there at the end of games?
Other than the 100-mile-an-hour fastball and the wicked slider, I think it's the way he's wired. Edwin is about as grounded as any young pitcher you're ever going to meet. And you know, I think there are many guys that close or close for parts of their rookie season. I was one of those guys a long time ago and never had Edwin's stuff, nor did I have his internal wiring. The difference with Edwin is that he's doing it for a team that has a chance to win. And that's unique. You don't typically see a closer, a 22, 23, 24-year-old come up and immediately grab an impact role, even when he was pitching the 8th inning for us, an impact leverage type role. And what is, you know, proven to be over the course of the year, a pretty solid bullpen group. And he's just taken the reins and run to the front. And he deserves to be where he is. He's earned it. He's earned the trust. And, you know, not every night's going to be simple. Like we saw last night, he's going to have to fight through them. And every time he experiences this, the 3 hits in an inning or walking the leadoff hitter or the untimely homer that ties up a game with a 1-run lead, you know, there's a level of maturity that comes with settling the game down, doing your job, and then passing it on to the next guy or shaking hands when it's over. And we're seeing that each day with Edwin. He handles every step of it like a 35-year-old veteran who's done it for 10 years and couldn't be more impressed with how he's done that and how well he's presented himself every time he's out there. It's with confidence. He's getting more and more efficient with each passing day. He understands the role. And I don't think I can sell short whether it's Steve Cishek or Tom Wilhelmsen or Drew Storen. He happens to be sitting down there with a group of guys who have all saved 37 and 35 and 43 games in a big league season. So he's not short on turning around and asking for help from people who've been down that road.
Now, Jerry, you talked with us last week and you mentioned the term the Wolf Pack. And Jim and Dave weren't around this afternoon, so they weren't able to get in the way of we come up with some. Dave, how would you describe the audio productions that we put together here on the show?
Stupid.
Oh, okay. Stupid is the word that he uses.
Reaches.
That's what Jim chooses to use. But we put this together for you. We played off of what you said last week, and we're going to see how exactly you like this one.
Most importantly, we're trying to acclimate these guys to get through the next 3 weeks or 2.5 weeks. So once we get to September and we have the ability to stretch out a wolf pack, but it is, and when I say wolf pack, it's just having more than your typical 11 or 12 pitchers.
This is the story of the rise to power of the largest wolf pack ever known.
Diving stop, Seager! Toss on hop the first! In time to get Simmons! Holy smokes, what a play by Kyle Seager! Robbing Simmons! This ball game is over!
Going from strength to strength, they're now at a turning point in their lives.
2-2 pitch to Mike Trout. Here it comes.
Swung on a miss. Struck him out. Hey now.
100 miles an hour.
The balance of power is shifting within the pack.
Changes for the Mariners as we go to the bottom of the ninth inning. Hard-throwing right-hander Edwin Diaz will take over in relief.
The leaders face a takeover challenge from within their own family.
And again, the 0-2 pitch, swing and a high drive deep to right field. Eaton going back, looking up, goodbye baseball! Another walk-off home run!
Most importantly, we're trying to acclimate these guys to get through the next 3 weeks to September, and we have the ability to stretch out a wolf pack.
That is our take on the wolf pack. Jerry, are you honored? Are you insulted? Was it a big mess? What do you think?
I feel like I'm 12 years old watching Vincent Price on a Saturday morning introducing some kind of horror movie with Bela Lugosi. I'm thrilled. I think an honor is the best way to put it.
Oh, man, you know, that's a great answer. We appreciate it, Jerry. I would have guessed that you would have said, there's 90 seconds that I'll never get back, and on my deathbed I'm going to be gone. Man, I wish I hadn't had to sit through that.
I kind of liked it.
Oh, Jim liked it.
I got goosebumps even.
I enjoyed it.
How has this bullpen come together? It's dramatically different from what you opened the season with, yet you guys have found a way to assemble a bullpen that's been really, really effective.
That's working. And I do think, you know, it's fun. It's a little bit nuanced to references or Wolfpack. But I think last night is a great example when you're getting a spot start from Cody Martin, who's filling in for James Paxton, effectively coming off a night where Ariel Miranda stepped in. And you're looking at a 12-man staff that just has to come together. They see the finish line. And, you know, the finish line in this case is not the final game of the season. The finish line is the final game in August, because then we know we can create a bigger pack and help them get through. And, you know, in the case of yesterday's game, when Cody gets knocked out after 4 1/3, and Drew Storen comes in and gets 4 huge outs in the middle of a game, that's probably the first time that Drew Storen's ever gone home after pitching in the fifth inning of a game and thought, man, I really got it done today. That's an unusual feeling. And then to see one after another, the bullpen guys come in, deal with adverse situations, and bind together. We didn't have to use them all last night. Just Nick Vincent and Joe Wheeling got a night off, but that's it. And, you know, the rest of the guys had to pack together and grind through that game. That is the reason why I think this bullpen is succeeding, is they've learned what it means to be a relay team, about how to pass the baton to the next guy. Right now, there are no egos outside of the sense that they belong in the situation they're in that moment. I think they're all pulling for the other guy. You can see each of them. I just talked about, you know, Cishek, Storen, and Wilhelmsson. Collectively, their best seasons put them together, and they've got over 100 saves. Yet they're the ones on the top step throwing their fist in the air when Edwin Diaz is recording the last out. So it's a selfless group. I really do think they care about one another. They don't care which inning they're throwing to get to the end of the road. And I think they now see September 1st as an opportunity to get a couple more arms down there that can help them. Guys we just talked about, you know, guys like Zick and Scribner, and I could add two or three more, but we're going to get stronger. And I think this group has done a great job of really pulling together.
And, Jerry, getting back to Edwin Diaz, we had a chance to interview him a couple weeks ago out there at Edgar's, and what a fantastic kid. And just you mentioned the maturity. I really liked last night. It looked like Calhoun was barking at him after he got him out, got him to swing at a pitch. And he just sort of calmly looked over there, and like you said, he is really mature beyond his years, it seems.
No, he really is. He's fun. He's electric. I think he enjoys the moment. He's got that really just as electric as a fastball is his smile. He has fun when he's out there. You can see when he runs in the game that he's loose. There's never really a moment that the intensity overwhelms his ability to stay light. And sometimes that can be frustrating to the opponent. Some guys have the death stare at game time. Some guys have the game phase. Edwin's out there really enjoying what he's doing. The level of intensity is just where it needs to be. And I think he realizes now that if you turn the intensity meter from 1 to 10, it doesn't work great. But it's a really good thing when you can hover right in that 6 or 7 zone, which is basically what he's been doing. He keeps the foot down, he keeps the fastball on him, and he's been throwing a ton of strikes with a lot of confidence.
Taijuan Walker making his second start for the Tacoma Rainiers tonight. The first one didn't go so well, at least looking at his line. What do you expect to see, or what do you hope to see from Walker tonight?
I hope to see him get ahead. I hope to see him be efficient with his pitches, and like to see him string together some quality innings. And, you know, and believe me, I will be tuned into every pitch on minor league TV. He is Taijuan's important to what we're doing, and he's important to the remainder of this season as well as the years to come. But you know, as they get going tonight out in Nashville, I'm going to make sure that Taijuan is where he needs to be in terms of commanding his fastball, hitting his locations. You know, the secondary pitches, I've heard or I've read a lot about the criticism of Taijuan's secondary stuff. Taijuan is as talented as anybody in the league just with his fastball and changeup. The fact that the curveball and slider have come as far as they are over the last couple of years is only an advantage. So, you know, truly all he needs to do is go out and locate his fastball, keep it down in the zone, keep the ball in the ballpark, and give his team a chance to win. Get out beyond that 15th out, I guess is the easiest way to put it. Start talking about 16, 18, 21 outs, because that's where major league starters make their hay. That's how you wind up in a situation like Kuma's in now tonight, where he's going for his 15th win instead of his 5th. There's a big difference. And the way you get there is pitching deeper into a ball game, and that's going to be paramount. And Taijuan's ability to get back here and help us is just being efficient enough to do that.
Fun to see Deho Lee end the game with that pick of Seager's throw over there on one hop, but he's been struggling at the plate, 4 for his last 51. What, do you just let him ride it out, Jerry, or do you have another option, maybe Stefan Romero? I know he's got a stiff back down there at Tacoma that's kept him out, but are there other options you're considering?
Yeah, I mean, you have to consider all things. We are now in a position where everyone matters, and we do have a pretty flexible roster, and we've worked hard to create that. But you know, Deho did some wonderful things for us throughout the first half of the season. He's had minor moments here in the second half, and he has really struggled. There's no question. It's when you're struggling like Deho has for the last month and a half, sometimes it's difficult to hide. But the one thing I will give him a ton of credit is that he is out there. He works his tail off every day. He has not allowed it to affect his defense, which you saw last night. He made two really nice picks, the one to finish the game and the one earlier off the throw Robbie made on an excellent play. But, you know, Deho has been a large part of what we've done. It's you have to stick with players as they go through struggle, but there does come a time where you have to make the adjustment, and obviously we'll have to look at that.
Well, my favorite part about the Deho's pick to end the game is if you watch the replay, you'll see him smiling. Before he even gets the ball in his glove, it's absolutely fantastic. Going back to Taijuan Walker for just a second, Jerry, you guys have had so much success this year, whether it was James Paxton, Mike Zunino, even Nori Aoki. When you've sent guys down, they've really worked on things and become better. With Taijuan, is this a case, I think the words you used with Zunino, where Mike Zunino would tell you when he's ready? Do you guys know exactly what you're looking for from Taijuan before he returns to the major leagues?
Yeah, we do. And in Taijuan's case, you know, we're Mike Zunino, we sent Mike out in spring training, and we were willing to wait the long season to allow Mike to reset. Similar with James Paxton. If we saw James in May, in June, or in September, we just wanted it to be James Paxton ready to go as a big leaguer. And in the case of even in Nori Aoki, we sent Nori out, and the day we sent Nori out, I told him, I'd like to see you back here in 10 days or 2 weeks, but at the end of the day, we want to see you get back into a groove and be a little bit more like what we know Nori Aoki can be. And he did that. Credit to him, and he's done it since he's returned. You know, in the case of Taijuan Walker, we really need him. And this is a time, you know, obviously we are the back of our rotation right now is you know, it's put together on some duct tape and some extra wire we found in the garage. The guys have really pulled together and done a great job, and Wade LeBlanc has been invaluable to us. Ariel Miranda has really intrigued in his two starts. And we had Joe Whelan fill in for a start, Cody Martin fill in for a start. As you said, 13 starters. You know, and the one thing that can solve that is for Taijuan Walker to come and assert himself as a consistent force for us down the stretch. And like I said, I hope that starts next week. But we do need to see Taiwan drive into the sixth and seventh inning zone of a game and prove to us that he can be more efficient with his pitches. You know, Ty has never been, as a major leaguer over these last 2 years, has not really had an issue with walks. You know, he does a good job of minimizing the walks. He's not going to beat himself with free passes. He does have the knack for picking up a strikeout. But, you know, he's not done a great job of being efficient with his pitches, and as a result, he's not always as consistent in getting deep into games as you'd like for a starting pitcher. And that's just something we challenge Ty to go out and do. And it's going to be tough for him to do that in the two-start stretch in AAA. But we didn't have the time or the length of schedule remaining to allow him to do that in the big leagues. This is a highly competitive situation now with 6 weeks to go, and every game does matter. And as soon as he proves to us or shows us that he's that guy, the guy he was in April was extraordinary. We're not expecting that. We just need someone who can consistently get us into the sixth inning.
He is Jerry DePoto. Jerry, we always appreciate how willing you are to kind of dive into everything. And today we appreciate your patience for our audio production standards. We really enjoy talking with you. And thanks so much. Best of luck tonight.
Thanks a lot, guys. It will forever be burned on my brain, whatever that little piece was.
Yeah, we'll figure out whether that's positive or negative down the road. Thanks so much, Jerry.
See you guys.
The Jerry DePoto Show with Danny, Dave, and more.
Brought to you by Metropolitan Appliance and Monogram Appliances.
The Jerry DePoto Show, every Thursday at 3:30 on demand on every device on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
You hear how he described that?
Yeah.
Whatever that little piece was.
Correct.
Danny, did you say our?
Oh, I did say
did
our.
Did you notice that part, Jim?
I included you guys. It's true. I befouled you by including you in that.
Yeah, well, I actually like that one.
You did like
I mean,
that
I got goosebumps. I'm fired up about the M's. I can't wait for tonight's game.